out of this incredible epic and story about one of the greatest men in the Word of God. Tonight, chapter 38, verse 1, Job has lost everything. Job has suffered more than almost anybody we read about in the Word of God. He has had tremendous calamity and catastrophe in his life with no explanation. And it's not because he sinned, because God said he's righteous. God set his hand upon him and God crushed him in the crucible of God's justice and God's sovereignty. And in the middle of that, you might say that Job had been in a storm. You might say that. Chapter 38, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Why don't we give him thanks and praise for his word tonight? Word forever settled in the heavens. No. That's polite applause. Let's give him thanks for his word. Everything we have, everything we hope for, based on the word of God. Amen. Thank God for the word. And the further we go into this last season of time in this dispensation, the word of God has always been preeminent, but becomes clearly the most important factor in my life, this precious word of God. Because everything else is movable, but that word of God. And he places his, we love the name of Jesus, but he places his word above his name. Well, praise God. His name is a continual revelation, but his word is forever established in the heavens. Job's had a storm and he's lost everything and he's suffered despair. And his friends and his wife have gathered around to be his accusers. And they can't understand why he doesn't just curse God and die. And the devil's there and all the imps and all that hate righteousness and godliness. They've been there to torment him. He's tormented in his mind and in his spirit and in his body. He's seated in an ash heap and he's got boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. Chapter 31 and verse 40, Job has said everything he's going to say on the subject. And he says, the words of Job are ended. He's through talking to his friends. He's through imploring God to answer him and speak to him. Storms in the word of God are analogous with testing. A storm in the word of God is just by nature a test. Whether by design or just a natural occurrence, a storm will test you. Jesus tells a story, and he couches it in that language. He says, I would liken a man that hears my words and he does them. I'd liken him unto a man that builds his house upon a rock. And he said, the wind blows and the rain comes down. A storm comes against that house. But he said, the house stands because it's built on a rock. He said, again, I'd liken a man that hears the word and doesn't do it to a man that builds his house on sand. And the rains fall and the wind blows. He said, a storm comes against it. And the house falls, and great is the fall of that house. And the difference was the foundation. But whether you're good or whether you're bad, you're going to go through a storm. Whether you're right or wrong, you'll go through a storm. Whether you belong to God or you've divorced yourself from God, you're going to go through a storm. And a storm is a test. And a storm will show if the ship is worthy of the sea. The storm is going to tell if the house is going to stand. The storm is what will tell if the friend is really a friend, if the marriage will stand, if the church can stand. Can I tell you, the last couple of years, this church and its families have been through some storms. I believe all of hell has stood up and said, you're not going to have this revival, not easy. You're not going to have it without a fight. I believe all of hell has stood up and said, I'm going to take it to you. But I'll tell you, a storm is nothing but a test. A storm will show you where the strength really is. And I read in the word where God talks to Job out of the storm. May not have heard from God. if it hadn't been for the storm. He may not have seen God in this new revelation if it hadn't been for the storm. And I could ask you tonight, will it be worth it? Would you count it worth it to go through a storm? But it doesn't matter. You don't have a choice in the matter. So it's no need to ask you. You're going to go through the push your neighbor a little bit and say, you're going to go through a storm. Come on. You better batten down the hatches. You better make sure the foundation is strong. You better make sure everything is as it should be, because that wind is going to come up. You won't know when it's coming. That rain is going to cascade down. That water's going to look for the weak spot. It's going to find a place to get in. Brother Larry, in your new house, do you have water in the basement? Huh? I can't hear you. The new house? I thought surely not. Brother Larry had a house in Center Point, and he had pumps and everything, but that water will find a way to get in on it. I mean, a man can get out there and work and struggle and fight against that, but if that thing wasn't built right the first time, that water will find a way to get in. And I tell you what, if it's not tended to, that water will carve out around the foundation. It'll find a way to weaken it. It'll find a way to compromise the structure. And before long, the storm will bring it down, because the storm is a time of testing. It'll test a relationship. It'll test your relationship with God. It'll test your faith. It'll test your prayer. It'll test everything about your experience in the kingdom of God. And the storm is going to come. My God, I need to build this thing right. We better build this church on the rock. We better build these houses on a rock. We better build these children on a rock. The storm's going to come, and a storm is going to be a test. Everybody say praise the Lord. Job stands in the midst of the storm. And we get his testimony. He doesn't compromise. His integrity is intact at the end of the storm. Chapter 1, when the devil thinks he'll be an easy target, he takes away everything he has. But Job falls on his face and says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. I came in this place naked. I'm leaving naked. But blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job didn't compromise his integrity. The enemy came back in chapter 2 and covered him with a physical malady, painful boils all over his body. But still, Job's integrity was intact. And God turned the knife in Satan and said, have you considered my servant Job, who is blameless and faultless? There's none like him in all the earth. And he's weathering the storm. Chapter 19 and verse 25. Praise God. In the midst of the storm, Job said, I know my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. I mean, he's standing out there, a little broken man, against the gale force winds of all that's come against him. His friends, everything he knows is gone. And he stands in the middle against the howling wind. And I don't know if anybody but God could hear him. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. Shout it in the face of the storm. And that in the end he will stand upon the earth. I know he's coming back. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. He's telling the devil right up front, you can take this body, but you can't take what I have in God. You can take this life, but you can't take what I have in God. And that is a prayer of understanding, because you can't keep your body. You're going to lay that body down. There'll come a final storm. There'll come a day they carry you. Six strong men will carry you down to your last resting place. You can't keep that body. But Job stands in the midst of that storm, and the devil's trying to make you afraid of death and make you afraid of the end. Why should you be afraid of death? It's the most natural thing in life. Don't be afraid to die, and just be ready to die. Because it's, don't look at me like that. You act like you're the first person that's going to avoid it. You're not. Check the record. He said, but if the skin worms devour this flesh, in this body, I'm going to see the Lord. He said, you might touch me with death, but I know the resurrection and the life. I know the one that has the power to raise those that have died up from a grave and make them alive again. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. He says, devil and anybody else who's listening, I've got a redeemer and I know he's alive. And I know that I'm going to see him for myself. Job stands in his integrity in the midst of the storm. It matters what you say. It matters how you stand in the storm and what you say to those around you and what you say in the face of that storm. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to break. I'm not going to compromise. I'll hold on until I can't hold on anymore. And if I die, I die. But I'm going to die intact in God. God is my hope. God's all that I have. God's all that I need. Chapter 27 and verse 1, Job continued his discourse. As surely as God lives, who has denied me justice, the Almighty who has made me taste bitterness of soul, as long as I have life within me, the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness. My tongue will utter no deceit. I will never admit you are in the right till I die. I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my righteousness and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. He said, I don't know what's going to be the end of this. I don't know how. Is anybody having a storm? Is anybody having a struggle right now? You need to stand in the middle of that and you need to say, blow all you want. Rain all you like. Come down on me with sleet and hail. But I've got a declaration to make. God is alive in my life. And I'm not going to back up. And I'm not going to stop. And I'm not going to retreat. I'm going to live for God. Rain on me. Praise God. He holds his integrity. In his analysis, he says, he knows the way that I go. In his analysis, Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He's committed it all to God's hands. Where the storm becomes a problem for you is when you try to hold on to all the temporal things and you try to marshal strength to maintain things that are not really in your control. The only thing you really have control over is your faith in God. The stuff gets scattered by a storm. The stuff can get washed away by a storm. The stuff came from God and God can give it back again. Elihu is the last, and we talked about Elihu this morning. He's the younger generation there. The older friends have already accused Job and they've maligned him and they've come against him with terrible things to say. Elihu has been emboldened by their contempt and by their disdain. And Elihu comes against Job also, but now as a young man with no respect and with contempt in his voice. But Elihu is used in this passage like Balaam's ass. He's going to speak. And God's going to use him to prophesy. And he is scolding Job. And in the midst of his scolding Job, God begins to use Elihu to announce his arrival. It's an interesting passage. Chapter 36, verse 27. Praise the Lord. Now, this is not my Bible for the blind. You have to bear with me here. I may have to break out the spectacles. 36 and 27. If I can find it, I'll read it to you. Fiddle. All right, children, behave. At the end of God's speech, Job says in verse chapter 42, he said, my eyes had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Job was blameless and faultless and righteous and knew God and served God and loved God. He was close to God, but the storm brought him closer. The storm brought him to a place he never would have gotten without it. He said, I'd heard about you, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. Would it be worth a storm to get to see God? Well, it doesn't matter. You won't have a choice in it anyway. The storm's going to come anyway. But in the storm, I know I might get to see God. Listen to me tonight. When the storm unleashes in your life, don't run for shelter and don't decry the events of the day and don't begin to bewail and bemoan the thing that's happening to you. Say, this is a storm in my life, but my life belongs to God and the storm belongs to God. And I know that all a storm is going to do, it's going to bring me closer to God. And who knows, but in the midst of the storm, I might see him face to face. There's potential in a storm. We may draw closer to God than we've ever been before. There's revelation in a storm that you can't get on a sunny day. There's something you learn in a storm that you can't experience any other time. God saw Job going into it. He looked down from the heavens and he sent Satan out to touch Job. Here at the end, God sees Job coming out of it. God knows you on both ends of the storm. Don't worry about the storm. Understand that God sees you going in and he sees you coming out. Now that ought to be good news for somebody in the house right now. God sees you going in and God sees you coming out. When the storm begins to fall in your life, say, God sees me when I'm going in and God sees me when I'm coming out. This storm won't last forever. This storm won't last forever. And in the end of it, I'm going to be closer to God. A few years ago, Sister Peggy Bedwell came to my wife. She said, I've been having dreams about y'all. I've been hearing from God. And she said, you're about to go through a storm. You're about to go through a storm. And she said, okay. I mean, because what are you going to do? Oh, no. But Sister Peggy was insistent. She said, no, you don't understand. This is going to be really bad. This is going to be a bad storm. And so all you can do with prophecy is put it in your pocket and know that God's watching out for you, because you can't change the events and you can't prevent them and you can't really mentally prepare, because you don't know where it's coming from, how it will manifest. You have no idea. But Sister Peggy, you had no idea the storm that the house was about to go through. Lasted for years, and one front would come through, and another front would come through, and a pounding, driving rain, and a horrendous wind would come, and things you never wanted to see, they happened and touched your mind and your spirit. A storm, though, can bring you into revelation knowledge of God. When God appeared to Job, he didn't indict him. He didn't condemn him. He didn't explain the storm. He didn't tell him why he had been through all he had been through. He just gave him a list of rhetorical questions that were revelatory concerning God. He took him through creation, and he took him through the anatomy of the behemoth and Leviathan in the depth of the sea, and he asked him a question or two about sparrows and eagles on the wing and how they feed their young. And he asks him rhetorical questions designed to reveal the nature of God to Job. And when Job comes out, he's got a revelation of God that he never had before. When you're in the midst of the storm, hang on to the knowledge of God, but know you're going to come out better. Know that you're going to come out better. Oh, it grieves me to see people give up in the middle of a storm, because I know God sent it for your good. It grieves me to see people say, I don't know if I can take this anymore. I just can't take this anymore. I guess what? What? You're going to go into a bar room and have a storm there? You think the storm won't follow you into the crack house or into the adulterer's house? You think the storm won't follow you when you leave holiness and you leave righteousness? You think there won't be storms there? The difference is, when we're living for God, God speaks to us out of the storm. It's the devil, it's your carnal mind that'll tell you, oh my God, I'm in a storm. I need to quit going to church. I need to quit living for God. Well, that's the stupidest thing you ever thought. You need to take yourself by the nape of the neck and say, my God, I'm going to have storms regardless if I live for God. I need to have God in the midst of my storm. All you got to do is go down to the hospital. Man, there's people wall to wall down there having storms in their life, but they don't have God talking to them out of the storm. All you got to do is go down to the graveyard. They're carrying them down there every day. Families are having storms in their lives, but God's not talking to them out of the storm. If you're going to be in this world, you're going to have storms, but you need God in the midst of your storm. Clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify him. Do you believe that tonight? Isn't it good? Isn't it better to be with God in the midst of the storm? Well, maybe if I leave church, then the trouble will stop. You've lost your mind. And you can't know it for quite a while. But it'll come back around to you. There's a revelation in the midst of the storm. There's a restoration in the midst of the storm. I mean, whatever you lose in that storm, if God's talking to you out of it, God's got the power to restore you. After the Lord had said these things, I'm in 42:7, to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I'm angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Job gets vindication in the storm. Don't you know that when you stand in the midst of the storm and your faith stands, that when you come out on the other side, your faith has been vindicated? No, you didn't hear me. I said on the other side of the storm, it pays to have lived for God. It pays to have walked in faith. You know it. Your household knows it. Everybody knows it. My God, they were right. It is better living for God. They were right. God is there with you, keeping you, comforting you, strengthening you. There's a vindication. There's a validation of faith when you come out of a storm. That ship is seaworthy. That house is going to stand. That relationship's got what it takes. That man, that woman, they've got faith that'll stand in the middle of trouble. There's a validation. There's a vindication there in the midst of the storm. God is angry with the accusers of Job. So he said, now, take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job. Sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I'll accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. Do you know I read about the end times? And in the end times, the Word of God said they're going to be catching at you. They're going to be clutching at you. Are you one of the servants of God? Are you one of the people of God? Come and pray for me. Come and say something. Invoke the name of your God for me. I'm telling you, there's going to be a vindication when you blast out on the other side of this experience, when you walk through the other side of this end time experience, when you come out on the other side of this storm that's building right now in this world. The devil tries to tell you all kinds of things about how pitiful you are living for God. There's going to be a vindication and a moment where you're validated. And go to my servant Job and he'll pray for you, and I won't deal with you according to your folly. You've not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. Job had prayed for his friends. The Lord made him prosperous again, just like that. You know, God can raise the prisoner to the throne in one day's time. God can restore the damage in one day's time. God can give you back what you've lost in one day's. Come on, somebody needs to believe this. God can... Don't worry about the storm. Whatever you lose in the storm is just stuff. God can give you that. But what you got to come out with on the other side is your faith, your integrity, your experience in God intact. Just a simple statement. The Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. No, I believe storms make you better. I believe storms make you stronger. I believe the storm makes you more prosperous in spirit and in the natural than you've ever been before. It's what the Word of God said about Job. All his brothers and sisters, everyone who had known him before, came and ate with him in his house. And they comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him. And each one of them gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. And the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first part. And I think this thing gets better. I believe this experience in God gets better. Storms don't cripple me and make me worse. I believe the more I experience in the kingdom of God, the better I get. The more I experience of God's deliverance, the more I love this living for God in the kingdom. I tell you, I like it better. I've been doing this over 30 years, and I love it better right now than I've ever loved it before. Is there an amen in the house? Does this get better? Does God save the best for last? Praise God. And gives a rundown on all the livestock that he has. And he had 7 sons and daughters and 3 daughters. And the first daughter, he gives a name, Jemima. And he names all of his daughters. And his daughters get inheritance just like his sons get inheritance, which was a bold thing back then in the patriarchal period to let ladies have ownership of property. But Job was a far-reaching and a broad-thinking man. And wonderful story. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children, their children, to the 4th generation. So he died old and full of years. Praise God. There is a restoration after the storm. When you are expending all of your strength just to stand, you've got to talk back to this thing and you've got to say, there is a revelation of God in this and I'm going to have it. There is a restoration of anything I lose in the midst of this and I'm going to have it. Praise God. Talk to your storm. Talk back to the storm. And God will talk to you out of your storm. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There's a few stories in the New Testament that are told multiple times. And whenever you see that, you know that this was something important enough that 3 out of the 4 of the gospel writers considered it to be essential to their story. And that is the story of Jesus asleep in the boat in the midst of the storm. Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 4. Jesus is asleep in the midst of the boat, and a huge storm comes up in the middle of all that. And it's a shallow sea, and the waves are tremendous, and it's a violent and a very, if you've ever been in a fishing boat on a shallow lake and a wind comes up, you know a little bit about what these guys have gone through here. But this waves are boisterous, and the winds are howling, and the disciples come to Jesus, and they say, "Don't you care that we perish?" And he wakens out of his sleep. He's asleep in the bottom of the boat. He wakens out of his sleep, and he stands on the bow of the boat, and he says, "Quiet, be still." He rebukes the wind and the waves, and they lie down like a puppy at his feet. And they that are on the boat with him are more afraid of that than they were of the storm. What manner of man is this that the wind and the waves obey him, bow down? I tell you, it matters when you have Jesus on your boat. Amen. You know, that night there were other boats. There were other boats on that lake. They were just out there on their own. They didn't have Jesus asleep in the bottom of the boat. There were other fishermen out there. There were other vessels out there bobbing like corks and reeling and turning. And they didn't have him asleep. But these guys, as fearful as it was for them, they had Jesus in the bottom of the boat. Storm's going to come to everybody. Storm's going to happen to every ship on the sea. But blessed is the man and the woman that have Jesus asleep in the bottom of their boat. Praise God. It's an awesome thing to be able to go down and wake up the King of Kings. God, I'm having a storm. And God walks out with them in the midst. He walks out with them in the midst. He's on the boat with them in the midst of the storm. He's there on their behalf in the midst of the storm. I am so glad to tell you, Jesus will come on board your boat. He'll come on board your life, and he'll stand with you in the midst of a storm. Praise God. My God, what's the difference? All the vessels at sea that night, there was only one that had Jesus in the bottom of the boat. My God, I wouldn't go out of this house tonight without Jesus in my boat. I wouldn't go out of this house tonight without Jesus at rest and at peace in my boat. Because the storm's going to come. I don't have to ask you if you'd rather have it or not. Because you don't have any choice. Storm's going to come. Praise God. Shake your neighbor a little bit. I'm so glad Jesus is in my boat. Man, when the storm comes up, all I got is Jesus. Storms brewing, Jesus. Winds blowing, Jesus. I have four sisters, four older sisters, and they all felt like it was their duty to raise me. I got beat more than any of you. And the second one from the top is an extraordinary lady that has always been a mentor for me. She was about 12 years older than me. She was graduating from high school when I was starting the first grade. And she's always been a role model for me. She's brilliant in English, and she was an atheist when we got the Holy Ghost, but we went and witnessed to her, and I remember the day she came into the house of God and down in an altar. She's so poised, and she's so dignified, and she's a sharecropper's daughter. But she walked with such dignity and everything. And when she was in the altar that morning getting the Holy Ghost, she was laughing like a drunk. Left all her dignity down in the altar. Got the Holy Ghost in an old-fashioned way, talking in tongues. But we used to live close by her. And on my mom's spread out there, they had these big old oak trees, water oak trees, and they had that long Louisiana moss. And man, those big old thunderstorms would come through there, and those trees would begin to move, and that moss would begin to fly. And you could see Patsy out there sometime. Her hair whipping, her dress whipping around in the wind, and she's just feeling. I said, "What are you doing out there? It's lightning, all kind of stuff going on." She said, "You can feel him in the storm. You can feel him." I said, "What are you doing out there?" "I'm praising him. I'm worshiping." And see, we got the Holy Ghost probably 9 months before her, maybe a year, so we were a lot older and wiser than she was. But I thought we were a little bit out on the edge, but she was out there. Now, don't look at me that way. This lady went 4 years to LSU with a 4.0. I mean, she's got it. But she had a hold of something in God. And she knew that he rode upon the edge of that storm. She knew that you could find God. Look, this ought to turn you thinking around about trouble when it knocks on the door and about storms when they come to your life. You need to walk up in the midst. Ah, I smell a storm brewing. Jesus is about to come in a new way into my life. I smell trouble brewing. Jesus is about to manifest himself in another way in my life. Come on, come on, come on, come on. The devil doesn't matter. The storm doesn't matter. The pressure doesn't matter. The events don't matter. The circumstances don't matter. Brother Stephen, it's my response that matters. Ah, watch him. Here comes a storm on his life. And the devils are watching and they're saying, watch him tremble and bow. Watch him lose his faith. Watch him fret and moan and quiver and he stands out in the middle and goes, come on, Jesus. Bring it on, Jesus. Let that wind blow in my life, mighty God. Show me what needs to be stronger. Let that rain fall on my life, mighty God. Water the fields of my life. My God. God will talk to you in a storm. God will talk to you in a storm. Three places, Matthew and Mark and John, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. In the midst of a storm. This is a little bit different because he sends them across in the boat by themselves. And he watches them. And in the middle of the night, he's watching them, and the wind and the waves are boisterous and they're coming against him. And they're rowing for all they're worth, but they're not going anywhere. Anybody feel like that ever? I mean, they're getting it. They're doing what Jesus sent them across. And I mean, they're out there rowing, and they're going nowhere. What are you doing? I'm going to the other side. But you hadn't moved in 2 hours. Well, I'm doing what Jesus said. But you're not making any progress. Well, that's what you think. That's what you think. But my physical circumstance doesn't really matter. What matters is I'm obeying what God told me to do. Well, man, there's a storm brewing out here, and it's coming against you. And you're never gonna make your way through that. Oh yeah, but I'm gonna keep doing. When the storm comes, it's my job to keep doing what God has told me to do. When the pressure's up, all I'm supposed to do, I can't figure it out. I can't stop it. I'm not in control of it, but I can obey what God has told me to do.
Just pick them up and put them down. And about the fourth watch, wee hours of the morning, Jesus said, I'm going to go help them. Because he's watching them the whole time. Now you're down there struggling, and you think God's forgotten about you, but he hadn't. He's watching you struggle. He knows you're struggling, and he ain't coming. It's like when Lazarus was dying. He waited a few days. And when the news came that Lazarus was dead, he said, I'm glad. You go read it. He said, I'm glad. Because this is going to be interesting. There. Jesus is going to go down and help him. And so there's no other boat. He just comes out walking on the water. Now, that's a big sea. There's fishermen out there all over that sea. There's boats all over that place in the middle of the night. But there's only one boat he's walking to. Everybody's fighting the storm. You know, the devil's a liar. He's going to tell you, well, most of these problems are because you're trying to live for God. If you wouldn't try to live for God so hard, if you wouldn't pray so much, if you wouldn't live for God, if you wouldn't be sacrificial in your giving, if you wouldn't do all that you're doing, you're stirring up this trouble. You're making all those faith proclamations, sitting up here worshiping God with all your heart. If you just back off a little bit and quit acting so berserk, you wouldn't have all this problem in your life. But he's lying. If his mouth is moving, he's lying. But all the boats are experiencing the storm. Everybody's experiencing the storm. But there's one boat out there Jesus is watching over. And he's coming out to them walking on top of the storm. Walking on the water. My God, what a God he is. I'm in the middle of something I can't handle. I'm in the middle of something that if I fell out, I'd drown. I'm in the middle of something that's tenuous and fragile, and I'm giving it all I've got, and he's walking on it. And it's not a problem for him. And he's got control of it. And you know what the Bible said? When they got back in the boat, immediately they were to the other side. Got them right where they wanted to go in a moment of time. The storm didn't matter to him. Praise God. Could you just take a moment here? Lift up your hand. Lift up your voice. And if you're in the middle of a storm right now, just tell him, God, speak to me in it. Reveal yourself to me in it. God, do the work that you've designed it to do in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I praise you for the storm, oh God. I know what you can do. You can speak in the midst of a storm. I praise you for it, oh Lord. You're the master of the wind. You're the ruler of the waves. I know who you are, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Job needed a word from God, and he got it out of the midst of a storm. Let's stand together. We've had a wonderful move of God in this house already. People have received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. If the wind's picking up and the rain's starting to pelt, don't start fighting one another. Just keep rowing. Just keep doing what Jesus told you to do. He's coming. Somewhere in the middle of the night, somewhere in the midst of your storm, he's going to speak to you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's come down around the altar. We can all fit tonight.